Well, good morning. If I could, you in our pastoral prayer time, could I get you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses, I believe. First chapter is what it is. Brian, let me encourage you. You know, Brian being the worship leader, we usually talk each week, you know, at some point. And this last week, we didn't get the opportunity to connect, things going on, that kind of thing. And he wasn't even aware I was doing pastoral prayer today, and some things that were on my heart about praying for the body of Christ, for this church family. I don't know if you know, the elders, you probably are pretty aware of it, that we pray for you guys in a lot of different ways. It comes out in our pastoral prayer time. It comes out the things that are on our heart that we're lifting up you before the Lord about and praying about this church family. And this week, I was going to share with Brian and that, you know, what is on my heart in the pastoral prayer is that whatever situation we're in life, wherever God has us, that we would live for him and that we would be a strong testimony of the Lord. And that the things that we do have the gospel is behind all that we do. And if I draw your attention over to the Operation Christmas Trial shoe boxes over there, what a great thing. It's a wonderful thing that we do. And you know, we put all these things in this box that there's a wow one in there that's supposed to capture the kids. But, you know, there's a lot of things that they need that are in those boxes. You know, there's toothpaste, there might be soap, there's not toothpaste, that can't be in there anymore. Anyway, there's hygiene things, right, you know, that are in there and trying to meet their needs and caring about those children. And we all like that and we're encouraged by it. But what's the point of the Christmas boxes? The gospel, isn't it? You know, we could give them one a week, but not with the gospel. Why are we doing it? And so I was thinking about you guys and thinking about church, and you know, you guys do so many things. You provide so many things for people. You provide for your family. You provide finances and those things, resources, but you provide love and care and nurture and prayer and the things that you provide for those that are in your life. We do that a lot. But what's the point? The point's the gospel, isn't it? You know, you provide for your kids, education, clothes, all the things, you know, all of us parents agree. We'd all be rich if we had no kids. But then what's the point? No, you know, all that we do, the point is the gospel, isn't it? You know, as we think about that, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Let me get my Bible there. And let me just walk through it, and then we'll just pray for this church family, for this body of Christ, for us. The Apostle Paul writes, chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you in peace. And listen to what he says. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God and our Father. Do you know we constantly thank God for your faith, for what God's doing in your life, for your steadfastness and faith and labor of love and the hope that you have in the Lord? No, none of us have arrived in perfect, but no, God's at work in our life, right? And as we think about that today, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. In my own life, I can't get over on how the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came to me through the truth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't now I kind of maybe have some clarity or knowledge. It was full of conviction. For me to surrender my life to the Lord, and I know it's the same thing for you. And then he writes, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for a son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. So as I was thinking of that, so what sounds forth from you? What do we pray that would sound forth from you? And sound forth from me and from us, that the word of the Lord, right? That it would sound forth out of our life in a divine appointment, or just in the routine of life and getting an opportunity to be an encouragement to somebody else, like your friend was, Brian. What sounds forth is our faith toward God that has and is going forth. For we all turned, right, from serving self to serve the true and living God, and to wait for the return of Christ. That's the point of the gospel, isn't it? So as we think about that today, let's go ahead and go before the Lord. For this church family, Father, we come before you in humility and gratitude, thanking you for the grace that has been lavished upon us through faith in Christ. Grace beyond measure, if we take the time and look at it. We have, by your mercy, not received what we deserve, and by your grace, have received something we could never earn. And you've given it to us and asked us to choose you, to choose love, to love you, and to live for you while we're here. Us, Lord, this church family desires to sound forth the word of the Lord from our lives, that would go forth within all of our communities and each person that we're involved with, the people that we rub shoulders with. We know, Lord, we don't save anybody, but through our testimony of living for you and for acting upon and our obedience to you, Lord, you use those things to draw people to yourself through the truth of the gospel, to rescue them from the wrath that is upon every living soul that has not trusted in Christ. We know you are at work in our lives individually, but also corporately. You're at work in our community. We just desire to embrace your work for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, good morning once again. Let me have you open up your Bibles to Romans 14. We're going to continue our study of this big section of Scripture here. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 23 today. We're studying this section of Scripture, big section, 36 verses in here. Go ahead and grab your outline. It's helpful to have your outline. You can follow along as I'm talking, and I can have you look at some things. Helps with the flow of what God is talking about, and actually helping, if you put a few notes down, helps it really stick in your mind. It's the way God has created us and how we learn in that kind of thing. Here in this whole section of Scripture, as you find your place, the Apostle Paul is addressing, this is what he's addressing. He's addressing our need to maintain and mature our unity God has given us. And you can somewhat even put the idea of protected also. So many things come against our unity, our oneness, right? So many things do. I mean, just think of a marriage. So many things come against you guys getting along, right? Right? We have our own personal personalities. We have all the different kind of things. Gosh, the world attacks marriage and what it's about and the value of it and all that kind of thing. But so many things come against our oneness that we've been given to by God, the church, the body of Christ. Sin certainly does. We would say that's a given. Self-gratification really comes against unity. We'd recognize that in any relationship. Selfishness, self-exaltation, that's what sin is. It's about you, me, and or you, yourself, and I. That's what it's about. But also what we've been looking at and seeing in our text and what we've been talking about, in many areas of our differences and our diversity, we can bring harm to our oneness also. Whether it be from different levels of maturity, whether it be from different age groups or ages or places in life or differences in our backgrounds and upbringing, or that we're diverse in culture, diverse in personalities, diverse in personal preferences. All of that has a really great potential to bring conflict and harm to the oneness and the unity that God has given us. And the Apostle Paul is addressing that. That's what he's talking about. Now, there's some certain things he narrowed in on, eating meat and those kind of things. But he couldn't write about a lot of things. But those were really important, what was going on at that time. You know, because some people in their faith believed they could eat meat that was offered to idols. Freedom in Christ, not a problem. I can do that. And others were like, no, I can't do that. And then when you're around them, it's like, you're around each other, you know, would harm one of them because their conviction was you couldn't and that kind of thing. And so in all of these different areas we've been talking about, what the Apostle Paul wants to help us understand is how to work them out. It's really a rich section of Scripture, how to get along. The Apostle Paul gives us these four main points from chapter 14, verse 1, all the way through chapter 15, verse 13. And I won't review them all or talk about them all, but last week we discussed the first point, which was, and it's in your outline there, we're to be receiving one another with understanding in verses 1 through 12, right? We saw that receiving or accepting one another is a really strong word from God. It's really a strong commandment. As we developed the depth of that command of God last week, we saw, or we now understand, it means to receive to oneself, to admit and embrace into one's fellowship, into the depth of that fellowship. It means it's to take into one's life as a brother or sister in Christ, as a fellow worker, fellow soldier for God's kingdom. It means as a companion and fellow partaker of God's kingdom work, really, that's what it means to receive them despite all the difference in diversity, despite all the things. That's what he's really wanting to get to. Don't let those things that are different like that, maturity levels, these kind of things, those kind of things. Now, we're not dealing with moral issues or sin issues. We talked about that enough that we understand that. But it's a very rich summons of God upon our lives. It is for us to embrace and welcome each other into our lives with understanding of the Lord's walk with them in their journey from who they are. That would be a good way to look at it. And we're all different. We all have different personalities. We have different personal preferences. And I've talked about that a lot, and I won't go through all of that again. But there's just a lot of things that are in our background and all of that, that if we make the issues of those kind of things, it has the potential to really harm our oneness. But it was a tremendous encouragement for us to live that way. And the key, and we saw it last week, the key to that receiving or accepting or embracing one another is that God accepts, receives, welcomes them unto himself. If you're a believer in Christ, do you know God receives, accepts, welcomes you unto himself? All your scars, pimples, moles, some of us would say strangeness of you, right? But he accepts them. So the people in your life, he accepts them to himself, and he accepts them, receives them, welcomes them into the family of God, like he receives you with understanding of your maturity, your age, your background, your upbringing, your culture, your personalities, your personal preference. Now, again, these things Paul is referring to are non-moral issues, non-sin issues. He's telling us not to judge them, not to separate them out, not to make a distinction of good and evil. They're not sin, not to say, well, you know, we're like this or like that, that kind of thing. Not to separate them out, and we almost make them kind of divisive. So the first main point is in maintaining our and maturing our oneness and our unity is to be receiving one another with understanding. That's last week. Today, we're going to look at the second point. The second main point is to be building up one another without offending in verse 13 through 23. And I want you to listen to the text. And really interesting in the text, it talks about how we harm each other. Really focuses in on that. That's the offending part, or being an offense, that kind of thing. And I want you to listen to how the Apostle Paul speaks about this, how the Word of God talks about it, but we're to be building one another or building up one another without offending. Listen to the Word. He then says, therefore, verse 13, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, this was a food issue and a meat issue and that kind of thing that he's focused in on. And he says, I know I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks it's unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him who Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything which your brother stumbles, by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. It's a pretty encouraging text. We're going to unfold it here, but the first thing you have to ask is, so what is building up one another? Like he says in verse 19, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and building up one another. What is that? Or chapter 15, verse 2, he says, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Edification, same thing as building up, maturity, those kind of things. What is it? What is it to edify? What is it to build up? If you had to write four things down, would you write four things down? Could you write four things down? What it means to build up, to edify? What is he talking about, that we're to be building up one another? If you have something in your mind that it is and it's not right and what he's talking about, then it's really, we're not understanding what God's having to say. Is it to build up self-esteem, confidence, self-worth, capability? Is that what he's talking about? That we're to build up one another? Now, I want to help you be capable at some things. I want you to be confident in the Lord, those kind of things. But is he talking about those kind of things? What is Paul talking about? Paul said it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:19, all that I have been doing for you and writing you about was for, in the sight of God, while speaking in Christ, for your upbuilding, beloved. He's the whole 1 and 2 Corinthians is all about your upbuilding. What he's been talking to them about everything. He dealt with everything in their life, in their actions, beliefs, understandings, and he says it was for their upbuilding, their edification. So we need to understand what it is. So let's dig into a little bit of what edification or building up or upbuilding, what is God talking about when he is saying this is what we're to do, we're to build up one another without offending. I want you to look at your front of your bulletin. Pull out your bulletin, look at the front of your bulletin, look at the Apostle Paul, he wrote this, 1 Corinthians 10:23. This is really good. This applies to all these ideas and things that we were talking about, personal preferences, backgrounds, how we see life and these kind of things. They're not sin issues. They're not differences in doctrine. They're just maturity. They're just different kind of issues that we have. And he says this, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are edified. Now, he's talking about non-sin issues, right? Because it's not lawful to sin. So it's all things are lawful. All things are allowed, you know. They're allowed, these kind of things that we've been talking about, the stuff that we've been discussing. Romans 14:5 says this, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. It's lawful. You can do either one, and neither one's wrong. But we're not supposed to let that separate. We're not supposed to let that, I talked about it last week. I don't want to go into all those illustrations. But that's lawful. You know, it's lawful to eat meat, and it's lawful not to eat meat. So there's conviction before the Lord in that. You know, if your heart is saying, you know, I'm not going to eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols back then, and that's my conviction before the Lord, I can say, you know, that's lawful. That's fine, but, you know, I can eat meat. And so, you know, what I'm not going to do is cause you to stumble. I'm not going to do some things, and so I'm not going to put you down for it, or I'm not going to just, like, you know, give me a great big T-bone steak and eat it right in front of you or whatever. But it's that dynamic of everything we're talking about, so we have to grab all that stuff, and all things are lawful. You know, one person conviction not to eat meat, and others he can. Let me put it some things. It's lawful to stand up and praise the Lord, isn't it? Come on, you guys. Is it lawful to stand up and praise the Lord? Is it lawful to sit down? Sure it is, right? Right? These are different kind of things that he's talking about. But then he says, but not all things are profitable. Now remember, we're not speaking of sin, but all these differences identified. He says, but not all things are profitable. That word means advantageous. In what way advantageous, Paul? Advantageous, Paul? I want you to get this. To contribute or bring together for the benefit of others. That profitable. All things are lawful, but some things, you living them out, you expressing them in a certain way, you doing them in front of others, some things don't help us to contribute, to bring together for our benefit. Oneness, unity, that's what he's talking about. Then Paul says it again, all things are lawful, but not all things are edify. Edify, build up, that's what it means, same word, build up, edify, to build up in faith, to cause or to advance in being Christ light, to cause or to advance in being Christ-likeness. Love edifies, right? We know that one, right? Text, love edifies. Love builds up. Love builds up by choice, with passion, to act on someone else's behalf, agape love in the Greek, for God's best for them. That's love. Love doesn't give them what they want. Love doesn't let them be spoiled. Love doesn't ignore their stuff. Love edifies. Love builds up. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. I want to just kind of dig in here so we can understand what God is saying and how Paul is putting this in here for it to be the focus in our life and the things they are, we're to be building one another up. But you look at Ephesians 4, and we'll look at verses 11 through 13, and I want to dig a little deeper here. And so we have a good grasp and an understanding. Like last week, we should all have this good grasp understanding what it means to receive one another today. By the Lord's help, my prayer is that we'll have a good grasp and really understand what it means to build one another up. The Apostle Paul was read this morning. Thank you, Brian. The first six verses, but I want you to look at verse 11 through 13 with me. So he continues on. He says this, and he, that's Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, gave to the church, gave to the body of Christ, gave to the family of God, as apostles, as prophets, as some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers. The Lord is involved in that, on who's going to be pastors and teachers within the body of Christ. The Lord has assigned to this church, Living Word Fellowship, the elders that are here now. He's the one that is doing that. We surrender to that. We submit to that. That's what he's doing. And then listen to what it says in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Hey, we're all to be equipped for the work of service. That's all the ministry done in this church in and through relationships. To the building up of the body of Christ. God is doing this to building us up. He builds up two ways, salvation, sanctification. That's how God is building up his church. People coming to faith in Christ, people maturing, growing to be more like Christ. That's building up. Look at verse 13. Here's what we're doing. Here's the church and its purpose. We're doing the work of service, the ministry, and through all the relationships to one another, to the building us up for salvation, sanctification, whatever God's doing this, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's clear, isn't it? It's not confusing. This is what God is doing. This is what we're doing. This is what it means to build up till we all attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure, to the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The moment of your salvation, God began that work in you. He's going to complete it when he ends. That's what we're going to be a part of. That's happening today. That's going to happen tomorrow. That's going to happen the next day. That's going to be the next day, the next day, the next day. God's not going to be not doing it in your life. This is what he wants us to embrace. He wants us to participate in what he wants us to be doing in each other's life. This is God's call upon our life. This is to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. Or in Philippians 1:27, only conduct yourself in a worthy manner of the gospel. This is what it is. We are growing in our sanctification, in our Christ-likeness. That's what God is doing within the church family. Little side note, turn to Ephesians 2. Let me just give you a little, something a little deeper here. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about our salvation, talking about we've been made with peace with God. He's broken down every barrier. We're now at peace with one another because God's broken down everything. We have peace with God, peace with each other. And he says, so then, because of what God has done in our salvation, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You know what? We're fellow citizens of America, yes, but that's not the citizenship he's talking about. We're citizens of heaven, me and you, us. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of that place. We are that together. And then what does he say? We, with all the saints, and we are God's household. We're God's family. We belong to God's home. Look what he says next. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. We've been built upon the word of God, the truth of God's word, the cornerstone being the truth of Christ. Verse 21, in whom, in Jesus Christ, the whole building, that's us, that's this church family, is being fitted together and is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Holy is in the way we live our life. We're growing into the temple of God in the sense of what he's talking about, fitly framing us, oneness bringing us together, bringing us, building like he would build a house and fitly framing it together. Verse 22, in whom, in Jesus Christ, you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. I think building one another up is pretty clear in the Bible, don't you think? We should have a real good grasp of what God is asking us to do in the midst of this life with all of our differences. We're to receive one another, and then we got to be building one another up in our faith, in our relationship with God, in our Christ-likeness. And you know those diversity and those differences and those things that we've been talking about? They have a tendency to work in our life that we forget what we're about, and we start making those peripheral issues more than they should be. Welcome to humanity. You see why the Apostle Paul is talking about this? This works in a family, this works in a marriage, this works in an extended family. This principle, if we'll focus on what God is doing in our life, those things that have a tendency to get our eyes off upon the Lord and what he's doing in our life really become less. And so what he teaches us on, be building one another up and not offending. Because God is doing that in our life. We're embracing what God's doing. Now back to Romans 14, 13. Turn your Bibles back there with me. So we got a good grasp of receiving one another. We should have a good grasp of what it means to be building one another up. And so then let's walk through the text, and we can move through it pretty quickly and just see some of the things that are in here. We are to be doing that, building up one another without offending, without causing a stunt in growth. I like that. You know, like smoking cigarettes does when you're a youth, right? That's what I remember way back then. That's what my parents said. That stuff stunts your growth. Offending people, causing these things stunt their growth in the Lord. Now look at verse 13. Look what he says. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, right off the bat, you should just attach this into your mind, an obstacle or stumbling block to them growing in their spiritual faith in God, right? Or a stumbling block causing them to sin and stunt their growth in their Lord, right? And he says this, let us not judge anymore. Let us not be judgmental and separate out these differences where we've been discussing anymore. But rather determine this, he says, rather determine this. The same word as judge. What he's talking about, but rather use good judgment, quit being judgmental, but use good judgment in determining this, to not put a stumbling block in a brother or sister's way. Now that just speaks clear, doesn't it? Really speaks clear to me. How about you? Help me. Does that just really speak clear? That your personal preferences, your likes, your things like this, these things that you make an issue of, or if this, my brother over here, you know, his conviction is that he can't eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols, and in my freedom in Christ, I understand I can. This is not a doctrinal issue. This is just about relational issue with the Lord, and we're not sinning. That I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't invite him over and have T-bones out and just say, let's just eat. It's a stumbling block to him. It's just a personal preference for me, right? I can, you know, that's the illustration. But think about all the things we've been talking about. Hopefully you attach them in your mind. to put an obstacle or something to trip over in regards to another's morality or spiritual walk with the Lord. We don't want to do that. This applies to sin, yes. We do it in sin all the time, but it includes any activity or practice that is not inherently sinful. Pastor MacArthur says it like this. The loving, caring Christian will determine in his mind and heart to be sensitive to any difference, diversity, or weakness in a fellow believer and avoid doing anything, including what is innocent in itself and otherwise permissible, that might cause him to morally or spiritually stumble, end quote. Look at verse 21, chapter 14. Look at what it says. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. That's what it is. It's looking at and caring about each other's lives and not going to cause my brother to stumble. Let me give you an illustration. This should be fun. Who in the room likes hymns? Who likes to sing hymns? Come on, get involved. You guys over here, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do it, right? Who in the room prefers hymns? Who in the room is sometimes dying, we don't sing a bunch of hymns? Okay, all things are lawful, right? You can prefer hymns, you can like hymns, you can have more out of hymns, and you know, those things, I'm not going to choose either side because then I can get in trouble in any of that. But who likes contemporary songs? Okay, so you got that going on, right? Right, so hymns are that, right? All things are lawful, right? But then you're in the back over there, and you know, you're talking with other people, and you're talking about, man, you know, we sung a hymn today. I really love hymns, and hymns really minister to me. Some of these contemporary songs seem kind of flat. They don't really seem spiritual, that kind of thing. And the person standing next to you sang a song that was contemporary today, changed their life and their relationship with God. Excuse me, I didn't mean to scare you. You put a stumbling block right in front of them. Their life with the Lord and singing that song has drawn them closer to the Lord. That just means so much in their heart and mind. It's a praise song. These aren't sinful songs, those kind of things. It was something that is in their heart. And in our just life and our preference and what we talk about, we just threw a big boulder over in them. Now they're thinking that because they think highly of you and they respect you and they love you and you've been helping them in their life, now they're thinking, maybe I got a problem. I'm not supposed to like that song. There you go. Stumbling block. Now just put it 1,000-fold in all of our kinds of stuff. I like the lights on. We're back there talking about, I don't know how people like the lights on. I don't know what's going on. Now we all forget. Love covers multitudes of sins, right? But I'm using the illustrations for the point. Right? See how we need to care? And all the things I talked about last week, and I'm not going to go over all of those because we'll attach them. So determined to use good judgment, determine this, to not put a stumbling block in your brother's way. Moving along, determine this. Next one, not to cause hurt. Kind of goes deeper, and I want you to see it that way. Look 14:15. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks it's unclean to be unclean, to him it's unclean. For if because of your food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Stop there, hurt. It means to grieve or afflict sorrow. You know what it says in Ephesians 4, 29 and 30, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, building up, maturing, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those that hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you have been sealed by the day of redemption. Same word, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with your mouth on how you're talking with someone else and not building them up with how you're saying it and when you're saying it. Don't cause hurt. Would you want to grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you talk? You might want to raise your hand and say, yeah. We don't want to cause hurt by our words and actions in regards to another's walk with the Lord in non-sin issues, let alone sin issues. Yes, we would want to speak truth about sin in love and in kindness, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help, admonish, help each other out, because what? We're building one another up. Some of the greatest building me up came when somebody helped me with some things in my life that were sin. We speak truth and love, praying that God would bring godly sorrow, same word, over sin, then repentance. But let me tell you, only God produces godly sorrow and repentance over sin. I can't, you can't. All I can do is hurt. By making an issue and putting a stumbling block, I can cause earthly sorrow. God causes godly sorrow by his truth, that I may speak the truth in love, kindness. But God's truth, by God's power, by God's work in others' lives, does that. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:12, but if you by your actions in non-moral issues wound your fellow Christian's conscience, you're sinning against Christ. You're no longer walking according to love. Love, agape love, God's love, to act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion for God's best for them. That's love. That's the love of God shed abroad in your life. That's the love of God on who he is. Because by his choice with passion, he acted on our behalf and sent his only begotten son to go and die on a cross. That was God's best for us. That's what true love is. We want to walk according to love. Always thinking to act on behalf of others by choice, with passion for God's best for them. And maybe my personal preference, or maybe my freedom, or my maturity, or my whatever that thing is, I don't need to have because it's not best for them. And that's what love looks like. You see what Paul's getting to? This is good, isn't it? This is hard. But this is just rich. This is wonderful. This is what he's talking about. This is how we work these things out. Paul continues, determine this. Look what he says in the end of verse 15. Do not cause devastation. Look what he says next. It goes a little deeper. Do not destroy with your food him who Christ died. Destroy, cause corruption. So many things in our life can cause corruption within our relationships and things in our life. But that just really kind of takes your breath away when you look at that. That I can live my life and be a mature Christian and use my maturity in the wrong way, cause a brother to stumble, hurt them, bring devastation to their walk with the Lord. Not forever. God's over that. And your fellow soldiers walk with the Lord in their convictions about non-moral issues, our insensitivity or self-focus. We can devastate, not forever, someone's relationship with the Lord who died for them. I wrote in here, wow, Ken, you want to deal with your life. None of us in our heart really want to do that. As verse 20 says, tear it down. Now, let me just ask you a question. You think oneness is important to God? Just with what we looked at today? It's so important. Next thought, Paul says, also determine this. Have good judgment here to not forfeit your witness. Move along, look at verse 16 through 18. He says this. Therefore, do not let what is for a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now, there's a lot here, but let me focus in on our witness. Verse 17, he says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. God's kingdom is not about if you get to do what you feel free to do. God's kingdom is not about if you don't get to do what you feel free to do. God's kingdom is not about your personal preference, get acknowledged or not, or even your convictions that are non-moral issues become convictions of us together or not. That's not the kingdom of God. That is not the kingdom of God. But God's kingdom is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. First, righteousness is Christ's righteousness, credited to you, imputed to you, imparted to you in your faith in Christ. You've been credited with the righteousness of Christ, so you stand before God, and he looks upon you and sees the righteousness of Christ. You're accepted into the family of God. You're accepted by God because of Christ's righteousness and righteousness living. That's what he's talking about, Philippians 1:11. We should seek continually to be filled, guided, dominated with the fruit of Christ's righteousness, his way of life, to the glory and praise of God. Romans 6, chapter 6 through 8, when we studied all this. Peace with God through salvation is how you first look at peace. And then peace in the church family, lovingly, servingly, caring about each other's walk with the Lord more than our own interest or personal liberties. And joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy in the Holy Spirit, which peace and joy are two of the fruits of the Spirit that come out of our lives when we seek to live and walk by the Spirit and live righteously. That's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about my personal preference get honored. Even my freedoms, I get to live them, that I'm free in Christ to be able to do this. It's not about they get even get acknowledged or even that we all come together and all like the same songs or like, it's not about that. Look at verse 18. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. We serve Christ this way, his salvation message, his sanctification transformation. It's acceptable, it's well-pleasing to God, and get this, it's approved by men. It's approved by people. It can be approved by all people, even the lost. And you know what approved means? Receivable. To live for or in righteousness brings peace and joy, which pleases God and can be receivable or is receivable by people. Why would we want to forfeit our testimony and our witness? Because it can be receivable if this is a gospel to people, and that's how you got saved. That's what he's talking about. Move it on. Two more quickly. Determine this, not to pull down the work of God. Look at verse 20 and 21. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything which your brother stumbles. Let me ask you a question. Just help me, a few of you. What is the work of God in your life? What's the work of God in my life? What's the work of God in our lives? Building us up, sanctifying, making us more Christ-like, right? Right? Building up one another until we attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure and stature of Christ, a strong testimony to the saving work of our Lord, to the world, salvation, sanctification. Why would we want to tear that down? Why would we want to tear that down? Tear down means demolition. Here's the illustration, like taking a sledgehammer to a building. All of us desire to learn not to do that in our differences. Determine this, last one, to not cause condemnation. Let me cover this quickly. Verse 23 and 24, but he who doubts is condemned if he... No, 22 and 23, sorry. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Simply, let me put it this way. To do an action with someone that in their heart and conscience they don't believe they should do, but you do it anyway and pull them into doing it also, brings condemnation to them in their relationship with the Lord. You see your freedom to eat meat, convince them, we're having burgers and you should eat them with us, when their heart says no, brings condemnation to their relationship with Christ. Happens with sin all the time. Young people, listen to me real quick. Look at me. That's why it matters who you hang around. That's why it matters what you listen to and what you watch. Because that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to draw you in. You got conviction in your heart. You know the Lord doesn't want these things in your life, but you got that flesh. You got that Darth Vader there. You got that thing that wants to self-gratify. It's there. It doesn't go away till you go be with the Lord. But you got new life in Christ. You got a desire to live holy. You got these righteous things. And the enemy is with some people around you, with some of the people that, some things you listen to, some things that you watch. What it's trying to do is get you to bring condemnation to your own heart, to bring this, I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Listen, let me tell you, God always wants you to confess and repent and restore it right back to him. Do not let your heart live in condemnation that you failed or fell short of what God wanted in your life. Let him transform your life, grow your faith, build you up, mature you in Christ. And it's a kind of stumbling along that that happens in. None of us want you to stumble. But it's you acknowledging that in your new life in Christ, you have the ability to choose God or not. That clear? So what are we to do? We got all these to not do's, and those things are hard to preach. I like verse 19, don't you? This is what we're to do. Look at it with me. So then we're to pursue the things which makes for peace and the building up of one another. There you go. We're going to seek not to do all those other things, but man, if we focus on verse 19, that we pursue, we go after, we chase after the things which make for peace and the building up one another. You know, that matures and grows us all in the character of Christ when we pursue that. And that's what God wants us to do. It protects the church, protects, maintains its unity. This is what we're going after, what we pursue. We're going to work these things out. We are going to grow to become more like Christ. We're going to help each other do it. Listen to Acts 9:31 as we close. A couple of things here. This early church, when it first started, it's going, you know, and tough things happening, but listen to what the says in Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. You guys want that in this church? Come on, you guys. You want that in this church? You want God? This is what God does. They enjoyed peace. They were being built up, going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase. Salvation, sanctification. That's God's desire. Do you know that's God's will for us? That is God's will for Living Word Fellowship. That's what would happen here is what's going on. It's, like I told the kids, we can either embrace it or choose to love him or not. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what's going on a lot here. It's not supposed to be negative or anything like that. But see, that's the thing that's before us and what the Apostle Paul is talking about in the oneness that we have here. Because you know what? In our oneness, we're going after the things that God has for us. Last verse, Hebrews 12:14. It says, pursue peace with all men. We should try that. We always be working on that. Even in the midst of the world that's trying to divide all the time, we should pursue, as long as it depends on me, be at peace with all men. It doesn't always depend upon me, but we should pursue that. And he says, and pursue the sanctification. That is God at work and in our lives to mature us in Christ-likeness. And then he says this, for without that, no one will see the Lord. I want everyone in my entire family, everybody that I run into, I want them to see the Lord. Don't you? We're going to apply the Word of God to our life. Live the way that God wants to, because our heart's desire is that everybody, Brian, that's what you're talking about today, right? That in the midst of all these things that we're doing and need to do and living and this church family and all that we are, that we would pursue peace with all men and the sanctification, the maturing, the growing, to become like Christ. Without it in the world, no one sees the Lord. We want people to see the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this morning's worship and for the richness of what you give us as we come to just give to you. Our heart really isn't come to church so we get so much and that kind of thing. The fellowship and the worship of prayer and of praise and of your word, we receive so much, but first and foremost, our heart is to come and acknowledge you as Lord and Savior and acknowledge you as God, the Creator overall, the one that we worship. And then you bless us with the church family and what you're doing in our life, and really, all of us should be full of gratitude with all that we have. Help that be our heart and mind, and help it in all of our lives. It just matters today how we live. It matters that we embrace that you are at work in each one of our lives. And it matters that you want us to be helping, to be encouraging, to be pursuing, each of us growing in our faith in Christ and the way we live our life to be Christ-like. We thank you for that journey. We thank you for the joy of it and the privilege and purpose of it is, and that you made it powerful in this world, and that you use it for your glory and others' good. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.